This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford store share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
No real timeline. We're going through the process right now. You know, we're really excited about the people we've gotten to talk to and we will get to talk to. And so it's not necessarily about timeline. It's we want to get this right, and we want to make sure we have all the information to get it right. And that's kind of what we're going through right now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Frank Saravelli with the Chicago Sports Network. He joins us now on Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Frank does so many things, but also helps out at CHSN, and he helps us out too. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
You know, we're kind of taking this one in and trying to understand exactly what's happening here with the Blackhawks. Jeff Blashill is named their new coach, and he will be introduced on Tuesday. And I'm very interested to hear what he has to say. And I don't mean to be less than enthusiastic or less enthusiastic than I should be, but you know that David Carl, they talked to him. There are a lot of guys that were available. And part of the reason a lot of guys are available is because the NHL goes through a lot of coaches. And the Blackhawks certainly went through a couple. So you just don't know how excited to get and how worked up to be. And that is probably very unfair to Frank Blashill.
Well, it probably is. And here's the thing I would say is that this goes for any of the top guys that have been hired through this cycle as well. Any coach is only as good as his players. So to think that Jeff Blashill is going to come in and be a miracle worker, I think is probably an unfair or unrealistic expectation. The Hawks have a lot of work to do. I think Kyle Davidson is well aware of what's in front of him. They took an important step in the last month of the season in injecting the young players that they added from the completion of their college careers. And now let's see what they fill out the rest of the group with this summer to begin taking that step. So Jeff Blashill, I think, is a quality coach. I think you and I, I'm a lot better in over 15 years doing this. Each year, each couple years, you add different things to your arsenal, you learn. And I think that's the big thing that stands out about Jeff Blashill. He's had an opportunity to learn. I think almost every coach, if they get a second crack at it, is better the second time around.
So when you talk about when they introduce him Tuesday, the first question or among the first questions will be, Frank, how will you help Connor Bedard reach his potential? How do you think he will answer that question, and what can he do?
I think he's going to have to be someone that is incredibly positive and enthusiastic with Bedard. And I'll take it back to the first part of my answer when talking about a coach is only as good as the players that he inherits. Is Connor Bedard is only going to be as good as Connor Bedard allows himself to be. And that is from a physical and mental perspective. I think this, and I've mentioned it before, I think this is a massive summer. I think he needed, and is a good reason why he didn't go to the World Championship in Sweden to play for Team Canada, is he needs a full-on mental reset. He needs to take time and put his hockey bag away for 2 or 3 weeks and just work out. And the other part of it is, I think he has to figure out other elements of his game in order to get better. And so both those things go hand in hand, right? He's completely committed. This guy is so hungry to win. I think that passion and fire burns at an incredibly hot temperature. And it's so much so that I think he also gets in his own way. And so if he can come into camp with an open mind and a clear mind at that, that I think these two are going to meet and find a way to get on the same page, that it's going to be really beneficial for both Bedard, the Blackhawks, and Blashill.
Yeah, you know, it would seem that when you hire a Jeff Blashill, you know, the thing you got to ask him is, hey, we got this guy, this young player here who is the centerpiece of the organization. He's meant to be a generational talent, and he took a step back. He took from the first year to the next year, it wasn't great. And when we talked to you about it before, Frank, you mentioned he's got to score more goals. He's got to use that shot. Mm-hmm. You know, I would hope that they've had all these conversations already with Jeff Blashill, and that they feel he is a guy that can work with Bedard. Because if this doesn't work, that sends the whole rebuild stumbling back, another few years, for God's sake.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I think the other part of Jeff Blashill's job is going to be to try and take the pressure off of Bedard. Mm. Hey, we don't, like, take that word generational, crumble it up and throw it out. Once you're in the league, it doesn't really matter anymore. Whether or not you're living up to that hype, whether or not Macklin Celebrini is passing you by, mm-hmm. we only need you to be the best that you can be, and that's it. Whatever those expectations are, I didn't set them, you didn't set them. Those are from the outside perspective. And so I think part of it is he needs to know that this entire rebuild, to the point you just made, and I'm going to hammer this, it's not on his shoulders. He didn't decide publicly that he's a generational talent, and he's had to wear that. And I think that's another part that he's really struggled with. So if Jeff Blashill can find a way to remove the shackles of that from a mental perspective, I think that's going to be critical.
So when you look at his background, the last several seasons being an assistant to John Cooper with Tampa Bay, which I think is great, is a great line in his resume. And then the head coaching experience in Detroit, where I think there was a lot of association with Mike Babcock and how maybe he didn't compare, which is a tough comparison, Frank. But, you know, I wonder, you know, which version is more fair to wonder, and which has helped coach or shape his coaching style more, the time succeeding Babcock in Detroit and maybe that connection with him, a successful coach, or the time he spent with John Cooper in Tampa?
I think the truth is probably both equally, because here's the thing, and a big reason why I don't think it's totally fair to look at Jeff Blashill's record and say, hey, why are we going after this guy? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. He was handed a bleep sandwich in Detroit. With all due respect,
right?
This is a Red Wings team that had made the playoffs for 25 consecutive years and were absolutely due a rebuild. They were hanging on by a thread. And at some point, Ken Holland, their Hall of Fame general manager, pulled the plug and said, it's time. We need to redo this. And they made the playoffs the first year of his tenure, so he kept the streak alive. They were bounced in five games, I think coincidentally enough, by the Lightning. And after that, to say, oh, Jeff Blashill couldn't get that team back to the playoffs, like, they weren't even designed to be good. So I think it's a weird thing. So in this sport, I think seemingly more than any other, we tend to look at a coach's resume and we just want to delete the context. So, like, I'll give you another example because the coaching cycle has been ongoing now. There's other guys in the league that can't get a job again despite coaching two teams that were rebuilding. So, wait a second. You went to both teams. You didn't have any expectations to win. You didn't win. And all of a sudden you get a stamp on your forehead as a bad coach? How exactly does that work? So then Blashill, to your point, goes to Tampa and has an impressive run with inarguably one of the best coaches in the league. The teams had success. They won. And he's someone that really seemed to be universally respected for his contributions as a guy that didn't wallow, just jumped right back in and said, hey, I'm fired in Detroit after seven seasons, 500 games. I'm not going to sit on my arse and watch the rest of the league. I'm going to go learn. I want to go learn in Tampa, and I want to learn from the best. And so he does that and now gets a second opportunity. And people, fans in Chicago, want to poo-poo him and say, oh, this guy's no good. They want to write him off before he even walks in the door. I don't really understand it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to do that. I just think that, the problem that you have is kind of what happened in Detroit, right? The Blackhawks have they're in a complete rebuild to the point where they've made eight selections in the first round of the draft in the previous three seasons, five in the second round, another eight in the third round. They got the third pick in this draft. Like, the idea that... Like, what's in it for him, I guess, is what I'm asking. You know, Jeff Blashill's coming into, this is a team that's going to lose some games. And I don't think they're going to suddenly increase payroll. I think they've got a lot of young guys going to be on this roster.
I think the big difference between the two situations is that in Detroit, he was catching a team that was just on the way down and hadn't even bottomed out. In Chicago, he's catching this team on the exact opposite upswing.
Okay.
They're coming out of the rebuild. This is the exit of it. This last draft is I believe you could mark it down as the official end of the rebuild for the Hawks. I don't think they're going to be picking in the top five again in 2026, even though that might be a great year to do it because that seems to be a transformational draft with some very, very special players. So that part is, just think about it like a bell curve. He's right on the upswing now and joining a team that has some special players, Vlasic, Rinzel, Levshinov on the back end. You've got three bona fide top six defensemen that are locked in for the next decade. You've got Bedard if you can, mess around with the Rubik's Cube and find a way to unlock him. And you've got Frank Nazar up front, plus a whole group, more than you could ever want, bottom six players that are each going to have their own little interesting role. They've got some Andrew Shaw-type guys. They've got a whole bunch of different character pieces. And they've got a young goalie with pedigree. So I view this team as one just turning the corner, and you have to have the vision. You have to have the buy-in. The same thing that they were searching for as we had our conversation about David Carl in Denver,
right?
You have to want to be part of that. And I think when you look at this cycle and you look at 9, 10, 11 different jobs that were open, I would have had the Hawks in terms of an attractiveness in the top three for a lot of those reasons that we talked about.
Frank, you got a great handle on this situation. You're exactly right. And I think I want to believe that they're going to take that vision into free agency and try to be as aggressive as possible because of the potential here. I hope that they're looking at free agency as a way that they could maybe land somebody who can help Connor Bedard reach that high ceiling that we're talking about. I wonder who that is. I want it to be Mitch Marner. I don't know if that's realistic or not. What do you think the market will be for Mitch Marner if he indeed plans to leave Toronto?
Well, I think he is planning to leave Toronto, and it's going to be very expensive. Like, we're talking 13, 13 and a half, upwards of $14 million on the open market a year. And so that is a massive deal. And you're also now having to think about this summer at the same time. And I know the Hawks have spent a lot of time internally thinking about what does the next long-term contract look like for Connor Bedard as well. So that's going to be an interesting sort of exercise as well. And maybe he says, you know, I'm going to hold off. I have no idea what his thought process is. Maybe he says, after a relatively disappointing second season, I'm just going to play out this year and see what happens. Maybe that works too. That said, I think if you're not able to get someone like Marner in the boat, that the best thing that the Hawks could do for themselves would be to continue to be judicious with term when they're going out to market. The best part about the Hawks summer last year, even though most of those guys didn't work out, is that they didn't really commit a lot of term. It was 1 or 2 year deals for the most part, stopgap guys, literal warm bodies to plug into your organization that could hold over the team from year to year. The problem is even those guys didn't provide enough support this year. And that's why you had such a disappointing season. I think where it would really help to be aggressive is certainly on the trade market. That's the place where you can make moves. The Hawks have some extra help on defense that they could trade from. I think a legitimate embarrassment of riches on the back end. And you've got your draft picks. So they've got capital, they've got cap space, they've got flexibility. They just need to channel that aggression properly to make sure that they're finding players that fit their age scheme moving forward that fill important voids in their build that they're missing right now.
Frank, it obviously takes a lot of different types of players that build up a team. You know, you talk about the blue liners. Obviously, you need skill players. Obviously, you need stronger players. They got a ton of speed among these young guys. I'm not sure they got a lot of size. How does that impact how you play the game? I mean, how would he want to play the game versus what they have to offer him?
Yeah, I think that's a great point because that is a part that probably gets overlooked a lot, which is, okay, you've added this collection of skill and speed and you've got all sorts of different attributes that these guys bring to the lineup. But a big thing that has been missing, and the Hawks do get pushed around and they don't have the size to compete against certainly the big boys in the league, that's going to be an issue. I think they've done a pretty good job solidifying that with some size on their back end. The young guys that they do have coming up are all pretty big. And so that part is solved for already. I think they could definitely use more of that size and, frankly, some toughness up front. They need guys that are hungry to go to the net. They need guys that are going to be winning puck battles on the regular. That's their job. They need more of a lunch pail, hard hat mentality that I think has definitely been missing from this group. And I think they were, frankly, hoping that someone like a Tyler Bertuzzi last year could be part of that. And we saw that in fits and starts. But one of the big things missing from that team, not just from game to game, but period to period, has been consistency. And so that's part of it, too. So I think that's a much needed and important element. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them tackle some of that this summer as well.
Quickly, before we let you go, Frank, we talk a lot about alignment in professional sports. Just curious, besides Tyler Bertuzzi, who played for Jeff Blashill, I don't know many other connections to Jeff Blashill in the Hawks organization. Does Kyle Davidson have any history with Blashill? I know Chris Chelios does, but he's an ambassador. He's not necessarily part of the operation. Is there any connection?
I don't believe so. I think they met for the first time as part of this interview process. And I think one of the big things that stood out and has always stood out with me when I've had conversations with have spent time in his orbit is that Jeff Blashill has a ton of presence. Like, you know, when he walks in the room, he commands that. And I think that's been missing a little bit. Certainly Anders Sorensen, who I think everyone respects and is staying on the bench as an assistant, he didn't have that. And Luke Richardson had it, but I think his demeanor was so laid back and quiet that I think it just made an environment that was too easy for those guys. And so the other fun thing about Jeff Blashill is that he's still a really relatively young guy. Like, it's probably lost on people that he's only 51 and that he has 7 full NHL seasons under his belt already at this point in time. By the time he was 48, that means something. So I think he can connect with these guys. I think he's obviously earned a connection and made that with Kyle Davidson enough to get the job. And I think this team is going to be in for an interesting ride.
So it's a good hire. Is that what you're telling us, Frank? I love it.
I think it is. Like, me personally, I wasn't overly enamored with this coaching class cycle. I think you had a couple guys at the top, and then I think the rest of it was beauties in the eye of the beholder. And I think the Hawks did the best that they could possibly do going out to get Jeff Blashill once they struck out on David Carl.
Great stuff. Thanks a ton, Frank. Really appreciate
Thanks
your
so
time.
Much, Frank.
Have a good weekend, guys. Happy Memorial Day.
That's Frank Saravelli. Absolutely fantastic.
Terrific insight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford store share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Bruce Levine, and he is the newsbreaker, as we know, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. And will the 2027, should I say it, lockout strike
Oh boy.
Be the only thing that deters the Cubs from having the All-Star game in 2027?
Well, that's a question. That's an interesting point of view. Let's start with the news itself. 2027, the All-Star game at Wrigley Field, reported yesterday the Cubs will be awarded that this summer. Not yet. It's not official. Some other reports have kind of pushed back at that idea. Bruce, where do things stand?
Exactly where you said. Sometime this summer, before probably the All-Star game, the Chicago Cubs will be given the 2027 All-Star game by Major League Baseball. And this has been in the works for 6 years, seriously, since Mr. Ricketts and their family finished the completion of the renovation of Wrigley Field. And the only thing that has really stood in the way of MLB wanting to grant this to the Chicago Cubs, it has been the security around the ballpark. MLB security not comfortable with the outside of the ballpark and that it could be a security risk. Therefore, the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, and the Chicago Cubs are all putting in money to be able to put $30 million for bollards around Wrigley Field, a little bit of expansion on Addison of the area for the street, for the bollards, so that the MLB security and MLB is satisfied. It was the only thing standing in the way, that in having three different mayors now, Mayor Johnson firmly behind this and a big part of this moving forward as well. So that'll be announced. Again, we can go down the road and talk about what happens if indeed there is a lockout strike. But again, that's the only All-Star games that have been missed since this was invented in 1933 by the Tribune's Arch Ward. Was in 1945 because of travel restrictions because of World War II, and in 2020 because of the pandemic. Those are the only games missed since 1933.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted to learn that the only two teams that have waited as long as the Cubs to host an All-Star game are Tampa, who's playing in a minor league stadium. They don't currently have one, and Oakland, also playing in a minor league stadium.
There is no Oakland.
Well, I mean, the A's, I guess. What, you knew who I meant.
Yeah.
And they're headed to Vegas, and I'm sure they'll get one in Vegas, right, when the big building's
sure.
built.
So here's the list of teams that have had not one but two games since the Cubs hosted in 1990.
Wow.
Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, Pittsburgh Pirates, San Diego Padres, Philadelphia Phillies will have it the year before the Cubs. The Atlanta Braves have it this year. All six of those teams have had it twice.
And none of them deserve it, Bruce. Not one of them.
Well, we won't go that far, will we?
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I got carried away. That blows my mind, though. I mean, honestly, and I know the building was in bad shape, and they've had to rebuild it and everything. Why? Why this long a wait?
Well, number one, expansion, right?
Okay.
So when the All-Star game started in 1933, there were 16 teams. There are presently 30, and most of that expansion took place, of course, starting in 1961, 62, and moved forward quite a bit in the late 90s and late 80s, early 90s. So you have twice as many teams. You have 30 teams. It's going to be a big rotation. As you mentioned, the A's never got it in Oakland. And Tampa, you know, with that ballpark, it's never really what they wanted to showcase their Major League Baseball. So that's a case here. But, again, you know, the Ricketts family, you know, put $575 million into the restoration initially. Turned out to be $740 million. They got it financed. They had it figured out. And part of the discussion for the Cubs have been for almost 10 years, when can we get the All-Star game? And this was the only thing, the security was precluding it after 9/11.
Yep.
We know security and, big venues, number one thing. And they just didn't feel comfortable with it until they, this was reported by Franz Spielman in the Sun-Times yesterday that the Ballards were agreed to, and the state of Illinois, City of Chicago and Cubs will all split the $30 million needed to put in those bollards around the ballpark.
So if that is going to be happening around the ballpark, how about inside the ballpark? Is there anything left to do in terms of renovation and specifically the press box?
No, there's nothing left to do there. I mean, they've done really? Everything they can. Well, the press box, you want a better seat in there, David. That's I'm just asking
because if you're going to have an All-Star game, they got to do something up there.
Are they going to put an elevator in so David doesn't have to walk all the way up there?
they have three elevators. They just renovated this thing. It finished only 6 years ago. What more would you want them to do to it?
I think
he's got a list.
Could use some work. That's all I'm saying.
Where?
The seats.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just wondered.
More cushy seats for you?
No, it's a fair question.
If you put down a couple $100, you'll get a better seat, you know.
I know.
Don't use your press pass.
Believe it or not, I'm not asking because of self-interest here. I don't have any self-interest. That's not why I'm asking. I'm just curious because the Cubs have done so much to Wrigley Field. It's a very comfortable, much more comfortable experience from a viewer's perspective, from a fan's perspective, that they didn't really go overboard in doing the press box.
Oh,
just
okay.
Saying.
You're lucky you're behind home plate compared to where media are sitting.
Fair point.
In all other 29 places. So, you know, we won't mention exactly where, but the idea is, you know, the prime seating has taken over the last 20 years to the point where the media used to have the seats right behind the home plate. And I don't know how many ballparks are left doing that.
So what happens if there is a work stoppage?
What happens to this All-Star game?
Yes.
So that is not determined at this point, according to my sources. They don't know for sure. Now, the one time that it happened in 2020, the Dodgers were supposed to have that game in 2020. But by that time, when the pandemic hit, the 2021 game had already been given away. So they had to wait till 2022 to host with the Cubs. And, you know, will Major League Baseball assume that 2028 should stay open and they won't award one a year from now to someone else? That's the question. So, again, you'll hear that the Cubs will be awarded this game, but will they hesitate on the 2028 next summer because they won't know whether or not there will be a 2027 season?
Got to ask your White Sox question, Bruce. Why would they send down Tim Elko, who has homered once every 11 at-bats? I know he's not hitting 10. Anything.
10.3.
10.3 at-bats.
To tick you off.
Okay. Again, Bruce, this question is not to do with me. I want to know why the Sox, in a season of development, would send down a guy homering once every 10.3 at-bats.
Yeah, it's what he did in between, I think.
Okay.
But Andrew Vaughn, what's
again,
he done?
I don't disagree with you. I mean, you're looking for a little bit of excitement for an at-bat, to pay attention to an at-bat, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't that the...
Yes.
And that's not too much to ask. It really isn't.
Yeah. Vaughn,
it might not fall into their development plan, but the idea that, they don't, you know, I tried to, before he was called up, I told you they didn't think
that he was
an everyday MLB player, you know. But again.
Do they think Andrew Vaughn is? He homers once every 37 at-bats.
There's about 6.6 million questions there.
That 6.6 could play in Charlotte. He still has some options available. Maybe give him the old burger treatment. Yeah. He comes back better.
You know, that would be punitive because who is going to be better than they have?
What do you mean?
I mean, do they have anybody in the system they think is better right
Tim
now?
Elko.
Tim Elko hits a homer more often. I'm just saying he will, fall into a homer. I know you're not.
Bruce, I like Tim Elko's story a lot.
Tell me the point of this season. What is the point of this season? They're already out of it. We haven't hit Memorial Day. They're trailing everywhere, and we haven't even gotten a chance to look at the standings. We can't look till Monday. So what's the point of the season? If it's about player development, then why not try to develop someone? What's the point of running the same guy back?
The million viewers on Comcast.
So they want to get...
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no, but I'm serious.
Really,
I don't know what the point is. I mean, you're bringing up a 33-year-old guy, and you're bringing back Andrew Benintendi, who they've obviously way overpaid. And Benintendi's a professional hitter. I'm not being mean to him. I'm just saying, what's the point of the season?
Mike, you didn't wake up today and realize that the White Sox weren't any good.
No, I've known it.
Yeah. I mean, being the attentive White Sox fan that you are, it's been going on for a while. And they're hoping they're the next Houston Astros, who lost 100 games 3 years in a row and became one of the, until their scandal, became one of the most admired franchises in baseball the next 10 years. So that's where they're hoping to go. Can you see it right now? No, it's hard to see.
So, Bruce, the Rangers are in town. Bruce Bochy brings his team to Wrigley Field. Jake Berger is on that team. They sent him down. We talked about getting the Berger treatment. What we're referring to is, since he's come back, his last 15 games, he's got 3 homers, driven in 7 runs, is hitting closer to .300 at .296. Not great, but better. And I wonder if, number one, if that is a kind of demotion you're going to see other teams try, and because with guys like Vaughn or whoever, and just what maybe Jake Berger did, right, is going to be something that other, it worked. It seems to have worked for the Rangers.
Look, we talked about, the demotion to the minor leagues after failing the major leagues is not really a bad thing. Look in left field for the Cubs. That happened to Ian Happ. At second base, it happened to Nico Horner. It happened to Anthony Rizzo before that. It happened to Kyle Schwarber, if you remember that.
Yep.
All going back because they failed and they needed a timeout. They needed to go work on their swing and become better, better people, better hitters. And they became better products of themselves. So I think in our society, thinking that you don't make it at a certain level and you have to go back is failure. In this case, it's really just player development. And we saw it with Matt Shaw. Hopefully the light is on for him, and he looks pretty good since him coming back. So again, just a part of baseball. Baseball's hard. Hitting a baseball still, maybe even more than ever, the toughest thing to do in sports.
Thank you, Bruce. Great stuff, as always.
Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Bruce. Talk to you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford store share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Do you feel any better knowing the Bears tried to trade up a spot with the New England Patriots to land running back Trayvon Henderson at 38 before taking Luther Burden? Does that tell you how they are, that they may be a running back short? Are you expecting Caleb Williams to speak at some point this week up at Hallis Hall and put all the book fodder behind him?
All right, two different things there. I think, yes, Caleb Williams should address this before it goes any further, because if it does lack context, he can help provide some. So I think it would behoove him to do that sooner rather than later. Maybe tomorrow makes sense. As for the revelation on the behind-the-scenes off-season video the Patriots put together, forged in Foxborough, this was a fascinating little tidbit. There was video of the Patriots considering a trade from the Bears to move up one spot. They offered a seventh-round pick to move up one spot. To me, that's not very enticing. If they really wanted to move up one spot and you're Ryan Poles, offer a fifth. Offer a fifth. If you want Trayvon Henderson at that spot where the Patriots decided to stay and take him, then the Bears didn't do that. They stayed where they were, and they took Luther Burden III, and they used that seventh-round pick on Kyle Manungai. So basically, you're asking, would the Bears be better off with Burden and Manungai or Trayvon Henderson in the second round as a running back? I think, objectively, you could make the argument that Trayvon Henderson would have been the play, that you would go into the draft with a question at running back and you'd be able to have answered it better than they have now. It's still, it's May 20th. They don't have a running back.
Did you tell, I mean, but isn't it crazy the way they celebrated the Luther Burden?
Yeah. I know. That's why I don't think they wanted to make the deal.
Yeah.
I think the Bears offered a seventh, like, well, at least we can say we tried. Somebody must have been satisfying somebody else's wish, because Ryan Poles was not fixated and convicted on making that move up. If he had, Mully, you know that. A seventh-round pick is like, well, you know, I'll throw in five.
Yeah.
I'll throw in 10. No, they didn't want to do that necessarily, because they did celebrate Luther Burden III. Fascinating behind-the-scenes stuff.
It is fascinating, but let's go to the Caleb Williams thing first. I'm more surprised that this has not been addressed yet. Meaning, I'm more surprised Caleb didn't take to social media. He didn't pop on a podcast. He didn't write a column in the Players Tribune to address it. So I expect him to speak this week, and I expect that even before he takes questions, that he – here's – I would advise, if I were asked, just before you guys, before we get started, I want to address what you guys saw in this book. Don't just get ahead of it and then just say, that's it, we're turning the page and we're moving on to the Ben Johnson era here with the Bears. Okay, so I'm not saying it's lies, but if they were so fixated on the running back, okay, fine. They passed in the second round. There were five more rounds till they got to the seventh round and landed on a running back. That's what I think Luther Burden's going to be really good. I do. I think he's going to be really good. But I don't. If they really wanted a running back, there were four other opportunities to land one, and they waited until the end. It's very confusing. So I don't know about the whole idea of pacifying somebody.
Are they a running back short?
To be determined.
Yes. Yes, they are.
But they're. I think they're the pound guy. They're the short yardage guy short. Because what we don't know what's going on with the former Texas running back. What's going on with that kid with the concussions? Can he get the short yardage? Can he pick up a block every once in a while in passing situations? We just don't know what's up.
Trevion Henderson's going to be a really good NFL player.
Well, and to your point on that, Mully, that's the thing. Now your eyes as a Bears fan and a Bears observer are going to be on him. You know, what could have, should have, maybe been, right?
You know, the forged in Foxborough thing, among other things in that, there's a point where the head coach who would not make, it was interesting because he wouldn't have made a very good impression on the Bears version of Hard Knocks. He said something along the lines of, I don't give a bloop about last year, anything that happened last year. I think that's where the Bears are, frankly. I think that, you know, what he said is accurate. I don't think Ben Johnson cares what happened last year.
I don't either.
I don't think it impacts him
whatsoever. That's why I don't think this is a big deal.
Exactly. I'm trying to combine the two things. I agree with exactly what you're saying, David. I don't think it's a big deal. I think the kid could put this behind him. I think there's a lot of people really hung up. He didn't want to come here. He didn't go on to come here. Then you just, that's simple. Hey, everybody had a defensive coach. I was looking to go with a guy that could run an offense.
Big, great explanation. But has he done anything to make you think he doesn't love being in Chicago?
No, nothing. So I think you say that, you know, anything that happened before the draft, anything that happened before I arrived is meaningless. This has nothing to do with what we're after. I think the fact that he got no help watching film is an interesting story, and that's the bigger story, but I think people are on the wrong subject here. And I think that I would love to just talk to him about how he watches tape and what it means and all that, but it's all irrelevant because Ben Johnson is going to change because he doesn't care what happened last year or who helped him look at tape. He's going to sit down with the guy and make sure you see the game the way I do so that when we call plays, we're in lockstep. And that's going to be a friendship that can last 10 years.
Good point.
All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
And Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you are the man. You are the man on the story. We know that the Bears will be converging at Halas Hall again today, and they will be speaking to the media. And apparently we will not hear from Caleb Williams. Do you feel that he should appear just to sort of, I guess, debunk the stories of him not wanting to be here or any of the I mean, it's yesterday's news, but the bit about him being sent to watch tape alone was a little bit interesting. Does he need to speak to that? He certainly will be asked of it when he next speaks. Or are you good with him not addressing it and the team kind of trying to bury it or ignore it?
Well, I think it's there are fair questions about it for Caleb. I think there's fair questions about it for Ben Johnson. And if Caleb doesn't talk today, which I don't think that's the plan, but plans do shift. Well, who knows? It'll be a topic again whenever Caleb does talk, if that's next month during mini camp or you know, whatever. So things don't go away. That was certainly a method that Bears PR tried to use in the past, that if you just try to ignore it and stick your head in the sand, maybe everything will go away. But they haven't been that way regularly and more recently, and we'll just see what goes on with this. I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's the quarterback and it's drama, and it's a quarterback that's going to need to have a better season.
Brad, regardless of how they handle the situation publicly and whether you want to call this a PR crisis for Caleb Williams or not, privately, are the Bears concerned about his game review habits, his film watching habits, and his need to maybe not watch film alone or know what he's looking when he does do that?
Well, I think he's got to be better at everything he does in year two. Like whatever he did in year one wasn't good enough. And if you've played at Oklahoma and played at USC and won a Heisman Trophy, got to have some level of expertise watching film, I would imagine, right? Unless you were going out and just winging it on, you know, great physical tools and skills that you do have. So he's going to have to work harder than he's ever worked for Ben Johnson, I would think. And there's you know, varying opinions about film work and habits of his rookie season for sure that are out there.
I'm curious, Brad, has that process already begun with the head coach? Has Ben Johnson already, he at the opening news conference, he talked about how the signal caller needs to have the same understanding of the game as the play caller. They need to be in unison, and the way to do that is by watching tape together. Have they already started that process? Has he watched tape with them, evaluated how he breaks down tape? Does he know whether there's a hole in his understanding of how to break down tape? I'm doubtful that that exists. I'm just curious if they have started that, what he mentioned on the first day of his news conference.
I'd imagine there's a very good chance that Ben Johnson spent some time in the quarterback room since the offseason program started. And when you're talking about introducing a roster to a new offense, there's got to be film work involved. So is that specifically looking at a lot of tape at Caleb? I don't know. That might not be the case, but if you're watching film, you're watching film. It doesn't matter who's taking the snap. So I would think that they've been doing some of that. A good deal is they try to wrap their arms around a new offense.
Bottom line, Brad, you've been there a long time. You know what is important and what isn't. How big of a news story, how big of a deal is all this?
It's just a little bit of drama, really. This isn't going to matter if Caleb Williams goes out and is outplayed again by Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Bo Nix. Okay, it's not going to matter. It's going to be that he didn't play well enough, right? If he goes out and plays well and shows a huge jump in year two, it's not going to matter. But it's May, and it's it's a little bit of drama, right? You got a guy, how can we circumvent the draft? Which, you know, have at it, and he's not the first guy that's had questions about that. There's no chance he's the last guy that's had questions about that. And here, the reality is, it's the Chicago Bears. What quarterback would want to join the Bears? It's every criticism of the Bears in the quarterback position for the last, 75 years, guys, is probably fair game. It really is.
75
and
years.
So, yeah, I it's like, you know, of course you wouldn't want your son to go to Hallis Hall. If the Bears take offense to that, well, check out your track record for, since what was – I mean, they've been bad at quarterback since Eisenhower was president, right?
What offended me about the whole thing, I can't get over, is saying that this is where quarterbacks go to die. This is where receivers go to die.
Yeah,
I thought we had decided that.
Exactly, and if you're gonna borrow from Mohsen Mohamed, you got to give the guy a little bit of credit, right?
Yeah,
and you
got to
don't
plagiarize. Yeah. Right. All right, Brad. So things that do matter. The Bears extended Joe Tooney yesterday, thought that was good job getting the numbers, a good guarantee for a guy at this stage of his career. We know what he means to that offensive line. The question is, how would you explain or how impressed were you they were able to configure the salary cap so there's a savings with Joe Tooney next year? And what will that money ideally be used for if they are going to use that space?
Well, in terms of configuring it, like there was no, they were just picking up the final year of that deal from the Chiefs. So any like bonus money that the Chiefs had paid him that was in their cap, like that doesn't get transferred over. So the Bears were just picking up the base salary, which was high, and an off workout bonus because it's the last year of the deal. So it was at $16 million. They were able to. He was going to earn $16 million in cash this year from the Bears, and therefore have a cap hit of $16 million. They were able to cut that in half. How exactly the numbers play out to get to a cap hit of $8 million for him this season, I haven't seen that yet. But you know, I wouldn't necessarily draw the connection between a 2-year contract extension for Joe Tooney and more shopping items for Ryan Poles and the Bears. Going into yesterday, guys, they were about as snug as any team in the league against the cap. They were, I think, if you look at overthecap.com, they were like 29th in available cap space. So I think this $8 million that's created, as much as anything, will be for operating space for the 2025 season. For moves in season, they may have another move where they tweak a contract to clear up a little bit of room. Does that mean they're not going to go out and get a running back? No, I think I've said with you guys on the show that you would expect at least one more running back in the mix before training camp when the pads go on and these guys got to start hitting and people need breaks and there's going to be, you know, some ouchies for running backs. You see them go down every summer. No, I'm not saying that there won't be space to get a running back, but I think by and large, this is a cap savings that helps them do what they were going to need to do, which was create some little bit of room, flexibility, and operating space for the season ahead.
Are the Bears a running back short? Did we learn that? Did they try to make a trade up to draft a running back and kind of they were interested in Trevion Henderson, according to the
Forged in Foxborough.
Forged in Foxborough.
The Patriots behind the scenes video.
Yeah.
They we'll determine if they're a running back short, right? Like, would they have liked to have come out of the draft with a back before Kyle Manunga in round 7? Probably. But that doesn't mean they're not interested in seeing what he can do. And I also said if they do go out and bring in a running back, like there's a competition for that playing time, for that opportunity there. You're looking at Swift, and then you've got Roschon Johnson. You've got Kyle Manungai and then mystery man behind door number 3. Like, so we'll have to see. They're going to need to be better running the football. You would imagine it's going to be a shared backfield, and you just don't know who all will be in the competition, I think, when they get to training camp just yet.
So, Brad, do we know about attendance for key players for this voluntary OTA? I think they're still voluntary, right? It's not a mini camp.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's mandatory is the 3-day mini camp next month.
So in that vein, because it is a new staff, do you feel like it is important for even the best players on this team or this defense to show up? And do you have any information or knowledge that some guys might not have?
No, I mean, the first one was yesterday, I believe. Maybe it was Monday. They opened up this week with OTAs, Dave. So we'll get a look. We'll get a peek today. I would imagine attendance will be high. I'd put even better. You know, like it's like minus 1,000 that the coach comes out and says he's fired up about participation in the OTA, right? Like, that's a guarantee that's going to happen. I know that Jalen Johnson has been there during voluntary off-season program this year. To what level, I don't know. But in the past, like, he's been a guy that hasn't volunteered a whole lot, which I think surprised him a little bit after he got paid. But he's been around. So we'll see what the attendance is like. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be pretty good with guys interested in you know, learning a new defense as well, right? We talked about learning the new offense. They got a new scheme on defense that they need to get down as well.
Are there any I mean, we know the guys that are coming back from injury. Are there any new injuries? Anybody suffering anything that is unexpected? Do we know if there were surprise surgeries? You know, that happens in the offseason.
Surprise surgeries are the ones you really want to avoid, right? Well, again, maybe they'll shed a little bit of light on that today. I think Ben Johnson is scheduled to speak, so if we do have injury questions, maybe we'll have the right guy there. I mean, most of these coaches now,
right?
They feel they're at a competitive disadvantage if they talk about a guy's hamstring in May. So
yeah, what the offensive coordinator wouldn't answer a question about Luther Burden. The thing, so you have to ask Ben that. Yeah, well, he talked yesterday. He's not available.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's like Dick Durant said. That sounds like a real conundrum.
Brad, are you monitoring at all the Trey Hendrickson situation? Does it matter to the Bears? Should they be keeping an eye on that?
I don't think that's going to matter to the Bears. Like, they've paid Montez Sweat, right? They traded for him. They paid him. And at the time they paid him, he was one of the higher paid edge rushers in the league, like definitely top 10. The market's exploded a little bit. They went out and they paid Dio pretty darn good money in free agency. Trey Hendrickson's going to want a deal that, if it's not at $30 million, or if it's not over $30 million a year, it's going to be right at it, right? In terms of the new contract that he's going to want. How do you fit that guy in? And then why did you go out and get Dio? And what would that say about what you think you're going to get from Montez Sweat going into, you know, his third year with you? It doesn't match up. I think if you feel like you're within striking distance of a Super Bowl and you're short at that position, that's a move that you consider. This is year one for Ben Johnson. We've talked about it before. I've written about it at length. Their inability to draft and develop pass rushers is a ongoing issue. Like, that's not a Ryan Poles thing. That predates his arrival. So I think you're banking on Dio really kind of coming into his own and being the kind of guy that he's gonna go out and earn that. What's he at, like $16 million a year, I think, that they signed him to. You're hoping that Austin Booker can step up. I just think the idea that they would get Trey Hendrickson in a trade from Cincinnati seems completely unrealistic. If the Bengals are asking for a one, no. And even if the price is like a, you know, a second round pick and change, I think that's a no. Like, where it just doesn't make sense when you've got a very, very high paid edge rusher, Montez Sweat, and a guy that you made one of the bigger moves of your offseason in Dio, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting. Also, as you mentioned, you know, Austin Booker, you know, this is it for Dominique Robinson, right? You got to do something this year, or the dream is over.
And the other thing people need to keep in mind on Trey Hendrickson is the and he's been fantastic. And you want to talk about a genius move by the Bengals to originally get him in free agency after he started his career in New Orleans. The list of guys that get top-tier money with their third contract, and then it turns out to be, that was great move by the team. That was great for the team. It was a win-win. Like, that's a pretty skinny list, I think, guys. Like, when that guy in that third contract is at or near the top of the pay scale at his position, a lot of times I think the team ends up being let down.
Good stuff,
great
Brad.
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy.
Have a good day.
Have a great day, guys.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you think of the way Ben Johnson handled questions about Caleb Williams and the comments attributed to Carl Williams about not wanting Caleb to play for the Bears?
When you hear it uttered, as in from the article, from the upcoming book, that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. Like, from a distance, did you see that? And what do you think when you hear that?
I love it. I love it. I love the opportunity to come on in and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written. And so we're looking to write a new chapter here, 2025 Chicago Bears, and looking forward to the future.
All right. Your reaction to what you heard there from Ben Johnson, that question asked by our very own Mark Rohde.
Could not have answered it any better. Could not have hoped for a better response. That's leadership. That's crisis management. That's something that we aren't used to hearing, frankly, from Hallis Hall. You get ahead of the story. You don't shy away from a challenge. You acknowledge it and move on. And it's time to move on. I know that we're not going to be able to until we hear from Caleb Williams, which might have been the misstep from yesterday, the biggest one, because he could have made this all go away. And the sooner this goes away, the better. Because what Ben Johnson said is exactly right. He came here, and because he is here, to embrace this challenge, a lot of this other stuff is moot. Caleb Williams, even without saying anything to address whether or not he, you know, was reluctant about coming to where quarterbacks go to die, as his father put it, his actions have spoken much louder than any words could. This is somebody that we complimented during the season, after the season, before the season, for the way that he embraced being in the city, being part of the culture here. The sports culture and otherwise. He's everywhere. He's at schools at Whitney Young and Lane Tech. He's at games. What else do you need to see to say that Caleb Williams likes Chicago and loves being the Bears quarterback? I don't know. If we need to hear him at a press conference, fine. Ben Johnson could not have handled that any better. Like guys before him, Ozzie Guillen, Joe Maddon, the great managers and coaches, he deflected the attention away from his players and brought it to himself. Well done.
I agree. Well done. He looked that one right in the eye and addressed it wholeheartedly. But unfortunately, I have to say, it is typical Bears. You know, you're going to trot out Joe Tooney. You're going to trot out Tremaine Edmonds. And you're not going to let the fans or the media have the quarterback. Like, just finish it. As good as Ben Johnson did, the team dropped the ball. I've got to imagine Caleb Williams wanted to address this. We just talked about Connor Bedard being consulted or given a heads up. Do you think, I'm guessing behind the scenes that Caleb wanted to talk, and for some reason the Bears didn't let him talk. I don't understand that. I'd love to know the reason why.
Yeah, I think you're guessing on that. I'm definitely not reporting it. You're allowed to have your beliefs, but I don't think that that's necessarily accurate. I don't know. Let me tell you something. That was the exact correct scripted type of response. That was exactly what you needed at that moment. I'm not saying he scripted it, but I'm saying that was like absolutely the pitch perfect response. Just got it, nailed it. See ya, bye. That was perfect. He did a great job responding to that question. It was an excellent question. Grody knows what he's doing, and it was almost like you know, Ben Johnson did know it was coming, and he knew exactly what he wanted to say about it. And it was, honestly, you couldn't script it any better.
It gives
was
you confidence perfect. That he knows how to handle
no doubt
delicate situations and to respond in a way that inspires confidence.
Yeah, and I mean, that is all the this whole season is really goes back to that question and that response. Because let's see the story unfold. Mm-hmm. It is exactly the kind of story you want to read here in Chicago. And that guy kind of laid it out for you. Just let it sing.
Ben Johnson, there are parallels between the perceived reluctance of Caleb Williams coming to Chicago, where quarterbacks go to die, and Ben Johnson coming to a franchise that not exactly known for being a cradle for coaches.
You know, the perceived reluctance of the quarterback versus the aggressive optimism of the coach. He wanted this job. He got on the conference call with these guys and said, hey, I want this job. Yep. In case you don't know, yep. I want this job. That's, you know, that's how you get paid. That was exactly what this guy has. He's hit it out of the park a few different times. Guy's excellent. Really been good with what he's had to say. And so let's see him follow it up. Yep. Let's see it. Let's see it unfold. Mully and Haw.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.